Open in the Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew first book of the Old Testament. I'm glad some of you were awake. I got it written down right there. Say Old Testament. First book of the New Testament, chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. That's a powerful verse. It tells us something that we can hang on to. And in verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Seeing the harvest through the eyes of Jesus, through his eyes. He saw something when he looked at the crowds that the disciples did not see. He saw something when he looked at regular people that other people could not see. The Barna Group has been doing research since 1984, in particular, gathering and analyzing information concerning the church, all churches, but the church. Many of their findings are startling and eye-opening. They have found that in America, 33% of Americans are totally unchurched. Now, that number is higher than that now. This was about 10 years ago. And in the last 10 years, there's been quite an erosion. But we'll use their figures here, because I don't have their latest figures. 33% of Americans are unchurched. They have no church affiliation whatsoever. Some of them claim God. Some of them claim other spiritual entities. But as far as having a church home, they do not, none whatsoever. While it found that 20% of those who do attend a church or have a church membership or frequent churches, 20% of those people believe that just living a good life will take them to heaven. Just being kind and being good, that's all that's required. Given those two statistics, it tells us that 53% of Americans, and the number's higher now, are lost. They do not know God. They have no relationship with God. If something doesn't happen, 53% of Americans, at the least, are on their way to hell. This does not take into account the people who are atheist. These are church people that we've been talking about. It doesn't take into account the atheist or those who are following the occults, those who deny anything having to do with a God. Over half of everyone that you run into on a daily basis is lost. And that is the fastest growing population group. More and more people each year are added to that category. And if we throw all of the false professors of Christianity, those who just profess with their lips and there's nothing in their heart, even though they might watch some on TV or something like that, if we mix them in with this, there's probably 75% or possibly even much higher than that of America that do not know Jesus and will not get to heaven. That's very close to the percentage that Jesus talked about, referred to in the parable of the soil. The good soil, the bad soil, the rocky soil. It was about 75% was not growable. When you look at it in that perspective, you begin to understand why. When Jesus looked at the crowd, he said, "The harvest is truly plentiful." 75%. These are the people that need to be reached. These, as we look at them, we realize there's a work that needs to be done. And one of the greatest dangers of the modern church is that we do not see this as one of our most important works. Most everything else comes before that work of reaching the lost. We relegate it to one of the last items on the list. But for Jesus, it was one of the first items on the list of importance. As Jesus began to minister to the needs of the people that were around him, he met their physical needs. He healed all their diseases, the Bible says. But at the same time, he was able to see beyond just those things. He could see the physical needs, oh yeah. But he could look beyond that and he could see down into their heart and he could see into their lives. And he saw that there was a need that was deeper than just physical. He was able to see those deepest needs that was hidden away. As Jesus looked at the multitudes around him, the Bible puts it so beautifully. He was moved with compassion for them. That word compassion means that he was moved in his heart with grief and concern and care. He saw the reality of the need of the people that was all around him. He saw them as they really were. They were wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. And he shared with his disciples what he was seeing. He shared that compassion with them because he wanted them to see as he saw, and he still does. That's still a desire of his heart. That's why in Matthew 28:19-20, before he stepped on the cloud and went away into heaven, he said, "Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have told you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's still his heartbeat in this day. He wants some insight down inside of us, his followers, his believers. He still wants to share with me and you today, personally, to see the plights of humanity. He wants us to see the harvest through his eyes. What happens to a harvest? The fruit, if it is not gathered. If you've ever had an apple tree and the apples fill that tree and they started getting ripe, but you wouldn't pick any, it wouldn't be long before you would go out and you would have an odor that was coming up, and you would look all around the apple tree and there would be flies and worms and all kinds of bugs eating on apples that had fallen and rotted. If the harvest is not gathered, what's going to happen to it? It's going to ruin. And Jesus wants us to realize that and see that. So I'm going to attempt through this message to help us see the harvest through his eyes. I want us to see the hurting people. The greatest need they have is the love of God. The greatest need that humanity could ever have. Do you remember when Jesus sent out his disciples two by two? And they came back and they were rejoicing. They said even the demons were subject to us. And we went and we did great miracles and we saw tremendous things happen. And he says, don't rejoice in these things. But when John the Baptist said, are you really the one? Jesus said, go tell John. Not only do the blind see and the lame walk, but the poor have the word preached to them. The greatest thing is that word of God. It'll change lives. It'll change circumstances. It'll change situations. Jesus wants us to see the harvest. And point one, he wants us to see the pain of the harvest. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus looked at lost people, when he looked at the masses, he saw them as they really were. He was able to look beyond the facades of our self-sufficiency, self-righteousness, our self-confidence. How quick we are, even though we're crushed inside, to say, oh, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. I'm fine. How's your wife? Fine. How's the kids? Fine. How's the job? Fine. But Jesus could see down below that, down into the heart. He saw the pain. He saw the loneliness. He saw the misery that they really felt. Jesus saw people who fainted, the King James says, and grew weary. They had a load that they were carrying. It was a load of sin, and there was an unrealistic expectation that was being forced upon the masses by their righteous leaders. He saw people who were struggling and scattered. That word scattered that's used there, Jesus was talking to people that understood. When the sheep would be scattered, when the shepherd for some reason had gone away for a short period of time and he came back and the sheep were scattered everywhere. They were cast down. It was like they had been thrown out and they were wandering around and they were bleeding and calling out because sheep can't find their way. People who are wandering aimlessly through life. People with no direction, no planned destination. People who live life with no shepherd live that way. So many, you ask them, what's going to happen when you die? They say, well, I'll just cease to exist. There's no plan. There's no hope. There's no destination for them. But Jesus said to the thief on the cross, this day you'll be with me, and we're going to be in paradise. He saw people who were utterly hopeless because they didn't know. They didn't understand. One of the... Oh, I better not go there. One of the greatest needs of the generation that's coming up now is to be filled, their hunger filled, because they're hungry. They want to know God. They want to know about these things that are eternal, that are lasting. Generations before them, they were not as interested. The millennials were not as interested. The boomers, they were interested for a while. But even most of us have drifted away. And then those that follow after us, there's several of the groups that have no interest in God whatsoever. As a matter of fact, they reject. But this new generation, I forget what they call it. It's not Y and it's not Generation X. It's, I don't know, RST, whatever. QVW. VW maybe, I don't know. But they're hungry. They want to belong. They want to be a part of what God is doing. We need to see the multitudes like Jesus saw them. We need to see this family that's over here that seem very happy. They have good jobs and they have plenty of money and they have a nice house and all the things that the world can offer them. Plenty of people live like that, that's in our communities. But if you look down into their hearts, you see a turmoil, a fear, a loneliness, and a desperation. They have no answers for their questions, no direction for their life. Their whole pursuit is making money. Their whole pursuit is ease of living. And they have no ease. They seek for peace, and there is no peace. They need Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We see another family over there. They don't have as much as that first family. But they do have some work, and they have a place to live, and their lives are driven by alcohol and drugs. They're addicted to those kinds of things. Their heart seems hardened to the gospel, and they're antagonistic toward anybody that's even going to mention Jesus. I don't know if you've ever had doors slammed in your face. I have. I don't know if you've been invited to hell. I have. Several times by people I was trying to tell about Jesus. People that I was trying to help. They didn't exactly invite me to go. They just told me to go. When you rip aside that outer sheath, that covering, all of a sudden you begin to see people down in their heart who have nothing to live for, but they're afraid to die. They're afraid to live. There are people without any hope. They need something to see. They need somebody to see them as they really are. They need something lasting in their life of value. They need somebody that'll love them the way that they are, so that they'll have an opportunity to change. They need somebody that can point them toward Jesus. What if they don't want Jesus? Well, they probably won't find him. Listen, I was one of those people. I thought I had it all together. I thought everything was running smooth. We were working our way up. We were on the treadmill. We were going to make it. We were going to make it big. And I was willing to do whatever I needed to do to make it big. But I was one miserable person. By 8 o'clock in the morning, I had already had at least 2 drinks, maybe 3. And it stayed that way all the way through until somewhere around midnight. You say, well, how did Susan live with that? The same way I lived with her. Because she was almost as bad as me. Not quite, but almost. We needed somebody. I rejected everybody that ever tried to talk to me about God. My mom and dad did everything they could. I rejected it. I hated it. And when some of the do-gooders that I worked with would try to turn them off like a staticky radio. But then one night, one afternoon, there was something that I couldn't get away from. You'll like this if you hadn't heard it. And most of you hadn't heard it this way, because I never thunked of it this way until right now. Jesus went for a motorcycle ride with me. He sat down on the back of my bike. And I was driving drunk going down the road at 75 miles an hour. And he whispered in my ear a message that I could not get away from. He said, deny me now, I'll never bother you again. And I knew finality. That was final. There was nothing beyond that. I knew who it was, I knew what he was saying, and I knew why he was saying it. All in an instant. Everything that anybody had ever tried to say to me suddenly became real. Life suddenly became real. Death became real. And it all started because of one guy. And I was so gracious to him. He was telling me about Jesus. He was asking me if I was saved. And I had a knife about that long. And I said, I'll cut you. I'll make you bleed like a pig if you don't shut your mouth. Do you mean it, Pastor? Yeah, I meant it. I would have. I was that stupid. I was that crazy. I was one of these people that Jesus saw that was hurting. I was one of these families. No hope, no aim, nothing in life. These kinds of comparisons, I could follow them up because most of you were in the same situation that I was. What Jesus saw was the end of their existence. He knew that without a relationship with Him, there is no other way to the Father except by me. So He knew that if you don't have a relationship with me, you're not going to get to the Father. And listen, folks, there's not a third place. There's only two places. When this life is over, it's heaven or hell. And you don't make up your mind after. You make up your mind on this side. It's your choice. Jesus saw that. He saw the end of their existence. And without a relationship, they were doomed. That's what we need to see about our friends, our neighbors, our family. That's what we need to see about those people that we bump up against every day. They may look like they have it all together, but if they are lost, they're headed to hell. They have no hope. Listen, I don't want to spend 5 minutes in hell because it's going to be so excruciating. It's going to be so horrible. You and I can't even imagine it. I don't want anyone else to go there either. It was not designed for them. It was designed for Satan and his angels, those fallen angels. It was not designed for you and me. I want as many as possible to be saved, to make heaven. Can you see people around you as they really are? Can you see those that are hurting? You know the ones that are lost. What do we do now? Ignore them? But they'll get mad if I say anything. Let them get mad. It won't be the first time they've been mad with you. See them as they are. Jesus knows their condition, and He loves them. So why don't we love them as they are? In my hippie days, and yeah, I was one of those, when I had the long flowing hair, I had hair down to here. My dad hated my hair. And out of spite, I would make dog ears every time I went over there. I looked like an idiot, but that's okay. And my dad, every time I'd walk in the door, he'd put on a Christian album. He was hoping I wouldn't stay long. One night, he was in Gapway Baptist Church in Lakeland, Florida. He was knelt at an altar. And somebody, he don't know who, walked up behind him and knelt down next to him and said, until you accept him as he is and love him like Christ loves him, you'll never reach him. And he'll never change. And got up and walked away. And Dad had no idea who it was. Nobody knew what he was praying about except him. He was praying about my stupid hair. And if he was still alive, he'd tell you, yeah, I was praying about his stupid hair. He looked like a moron. And he's right, I did. But I went over not long after that. Dad didn't browbeat me. He walked over, and for one of the first times in my life, after I'd grown up and got out of school, he put his arm around me and he said, son, I love you. Changed my world. Susan and I had started dating right about that time. Yeah, she used to go out with a hippie. A crazy one. I didn't, because she wasn't. There may be somebody in your life that you need to walk up to and put your arm around them and say, I love you. Just like you are. But I know something that's so much better. There may be somebody you work with that needs a friend. And you can be that friend. There may be somebody that lives on your street. And their greatest need is just somebody to talk to. Somebody to be a friend with. Jesus looked on the masses and he was moved with compassion because he knew what was happening and where they were going. Bow your heads with me, would you please? Father, every day we see people who are hurting. We see people that are wandering around aimlessly. Every day we come in contact with those who have no hope. Help us to be difference makers, that we make a difference in people's lives. Help us, Lord, that we might become life speakers, that we can speak life into somebody because we'll speak the word of God and the love of God to them. Help us, Lord, that we'll have compassion the way that you did.